Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And in another place, he says his commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. They're not heavy. Really, it's summed up in one word, right? Love. Right? The sum of the law was love. Love first to God and to our fellow neighbors. So week one, we studied obedience, and we said that was the path to God's blessing. Is first you hear the word and you're obedient to it. And then anyone remember what was week two? What was humility? And I said humility is the place of God's blessing. Bible says if you exalt yourself, you're going to be what? Abased. But if we humble ourselves, you can be exalted. And in the prayer, in the answer to the prayer of Solomon, when the dedication of the temple, of course, we always quote it, 2 Chronicles 7:14, right? If my people that are called by my name, first command, first condition is humble yourselves, humble yourselves. So humility, we said, is the place of God's blessing. And for want of a better word, I term this one understanding God's blessing, knowledge. Because if we don't understand, then we're always going to be needing miracles. And I gave the example some time ago. There are laws that operate in the natural, like there are laws, electrical laws, right? And when you build a house, you cannot wire the electricity through twigs or wood or plastic because that won't work. They don't conduct electricity. You have to wire with metal, a conductor. So if you were to wire your house with, some leaves or, plastic or thread and then go to the switch and wonder, why doesn't the law work? Well, you didn't understand the law. You didn't operate under the rules of the law, so you're not going to get any power. Now, we may be in trouble and our house is in darkness and maybe we'll pray and God will do a miracle. It would be a miracle for electricity to flow through some plastic pipes, right? So that's the example. Most of the time we are wiring our house with plastic, and then when we're in trouble, we ask God for a miracle. And I'm guilty of it. I'm not pointing at you. I'm pointing at me. But what I want is to not do that. I want to be where I'm operating with God's laws, so then the results of that always work. When I go to the switch, I expect a light to come on. I don't even think about it. You don't even think about it. You just go there and you sometimes you don't even look at the switch. You just go. And you're surprised if you switch it and there's no light. You have faith in the law, even though you may not understand how it works. You don't understand how the current is coming all the way from the. You don't have to understand all of that. All you have to do is understand how to operate in the realm of electricity. That is, you know that you don't stick your fingers in the plug because that will kill you. It's a good thing it runs all your house, but it can also be dangerous if you don't understand it. So this week we're going to focus on knowledge. And then the last Saturday of this month, you know, I've only got 4 weeks in this, but I think, does January have 5 weeks? Only four? Okay. Five Sundays? Someone get a calendar, because I hope it's got five Sundays. Okay, so you may, I knew I had worked this out. You notice I've only got four things up there. So on the fifth Sunday, I'm going to prepare for us for February, because in February we want to have a month of consecration. And so on the fifth Sunday, I'm going to go over some things and present some things. And also on the Saturday before that will be our church business meeting. And I really, 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 I can't overemphasize this. Want everyone who is a member or wants to be a member or claims to be a member, if they can possibly come, because there's a whole bunch of things I need to say that sometimes I can't say when we have visitors. And it's not appropriate for me to say. So if you want to know a whole bunch of things, what we teach on what they call standards and a bunch of other things, and also just some pastoral comments that I need to make, please come on Saturday, January 30th. We only do it once a year. So now if you have to work or you have some other emergency, please come and let me know, because I'm going to still try and get you some kind of recording so you've heard what it is I have to say, because I think it's very important. You know, Paul in the epistles, he said, I want you to set in order. Some things needed to be set in order so that when he came, everything was working out. And so sometimes every now and then we have to set in order some things, because we want to have the structure for growth and the wisdom and the things in place so that God can really use us. So I'm really encouraging everyone to come, if possible, on that Saturday. That's the 30th, I believe. Amen. Okay. Blessing of the Lord. Knowledge. Understanding God's blessings. And I picked Philippians 3:10 as, if you want to call it, my focus verse. That I may know him. That means knowledge, right? I kind of know President Obama, but not really. I know of him. There's a big difference, right? I don't know whether he likes coffee or tea. So I just know him from what I see in the internet or the news or whatever, but I really don't know him. And it's interesting. Anyone know where Philippians was written from, or when in Paul's career Philippians was written? He's in prison. Where? Rome, right? That's right, Jason, Rome. Out of the mouth of babes. He was in Rome. So was this at the beginning of his career or at the end of his career? And so do you understand the what he's saying here? Oh, that I might know him. What? You've been apostle all this time? This is near the end of his life, and he's saying this. What that shows is that we should never stop. Never stop growing. Never stop learning. Here Paul is saying, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul was not satisfied with where he was at. Don't you think that's something? This wasn't at the beginning of... If he had said this just after Damascus Road, that would have maybe, to me anyway, made more sense. Okay, yes, he's a new Christian, just got saved. But this is at the end of his life, almost. This is, he wrote Philippians from jail or house arrest in Rome. And this book has all these things you've heard, you know, about the joy of the Lord and how much joy he has. And he's writing from prison, so to speak. And he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul, haven't you suffered enough yet? Yesterday when I was teaching, we were going over that word witness, which of course you know in the Greek is martyr. Ye shall be witnesses. In Acts chapter 1, it says, ye shall be witnesses, but in the Greek it's you shall be martyrs. That's why when we look through the book of Acts, we don't really find many of the apostles, the 12, because they had already gone out all over the place. What we find is that the brother of Jesus, James, ended up being the head of the Jerusalem church. You see, so Paul here is saying the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He could have said, you know, I've fought a good fight, and he did. He said, maybe it's time for me now to share in the kingdom, the blessings of the kingdom. But he's saying the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, that I may know him. That should be our prayer. I want to know more of God. I think I've only scratched the surface. I think there's so much more that I could know that would build my faith up. And I think it's the same for you. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, said what? Study to show thyself approved, a workman that is not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And my dad used to always say, that means if he says rightly, means you can wrongly. Right? If he had to say rightly divide, that means there's a lot of people going around wrongly dividing the word of truth. And so that's why we come to Bible study, so that we can defend what we believe in, to be able to give an account. So Paul is saying that I may know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Maybe he knew he was going to be executed very soon. He wanted to know what it was like to be resurrected, the fellowship of his sufferings. Maybe he was maybe he was going to be crucified. Tradition says Peter was crucified upside down, being made conformable unto his death. Okay, so we're talking about blessings through knowledge this week. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. It's the knowledge of God that will get us to the point of a perfect man. Let me read it again. Till we all come in the unity of faith. We're all at different levels. Did you know that? You may have faith for healing. I may have faith for something else. I may have come through different life experiences than you. So you maybe have a perspective that I don't. It says, but until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. So this is a process. That's what Paul is writing. Again, Ephesians, we've been studying that. He also wrote that from Rome. And to the Ephesian church, he said, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. We are going towards perfection, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what God wants for us to do. We shouldn't be stagnant. Hopefully this year, we're going to overcome stuff that got us last year. Things that depressed us last year won't depress us this year. We'll say, just like David, well, I did fight the lion and I did fight the bear, so this time I'm not going to be too worried. Amen. As I told you, I think last week when we took, I forgot who we had up here, out, and I was just telling them the history of the church. Brother Hatton, and I was, you know, he had left, I don't know when, but I was recounting to him the history of the church since my wife and I came here, and how God had just, and it just shocked me as I recounted it, because I hadn't actually looked at all those things and all the miracles that God had done. God will do a miracle when there's no other way. I'm not saying you don't need a miracle, but what God wants us to do is to get into the operation of the blessing. You know, once Jacob got the blessing, everything he touched was blessed. Once Abraham got the blessing, everything he touched was blessed. Okay, Lot, you want to take the well-watered plains of Sodom, and it looks so good? Well, I'll take the mountainous region. Didn't matter. God blessed him. They can give you the worst job at work, but if you have the blessing, you're going to be blessed. You know, that's why I brought up that thing at work, because I am working with people that are, I could be their father. That's how young they are. And several of them are PhDs. Most, about 50% of them have their master's degrees. But you know what I have that they don't have? I have the blessing. So God gave me an idea, and it's going to happen, and I'm going to get my patent, and they'll have to give me some money for that, but not a lot. Not a lot. They don't give out a lot of money. It's about $500. So it's a good sum, but it's, so I'm, you know, and that's just the blessing of God. Because what I came up with wasn't that difficult, but I'm just telling you, once you're in the flow of the blessing, it doesn't matter if the person you're with has a PhD, master's, or whatever. You have something they don't have. You have something they don't have. Every morning when we pray, I say, Lord, open my understanding. Give me favor. And the Lord does. He does. He can give you knowledge that they don't have. Knowledge not only of the Son of God unto a perfect man, but you ask him to help you in your daily walk. And he can give you favor. Look at the Bible characters. Joseph. It didn't matter if he started every time they bat him down. He starts in a prison. Within a short amount of time, he's running the prison. right? He was first in Potiphar's house as a slave. Very short time, he's in charge of all the slaves. The devil comes, puts him in a prison. Very short time, he's back up to the top of the prison. And very short time after that, 3 years later than that, he's number two in all of Egypt. When God has you called out, when he has chosen you, when he has a plan for your life, and when you start to understand and line up with God's plan, it'll be easy. I described it in one Bible study some time ago, that the lowest form of blessing is to just do what God wants to do, right? Because God wants to do that anyway, so you don't even have to ask him. Do you get it? If it's God's intent for this church to be blessed and for souls to be saved, it's not going to depend on me and you, you know, because it's going to depend on what God wants to do. We can line up with that plan, and we can be used, we can be one of the vessels that are used to witness, to pray for people, or we can stand aside and it will still happen. It'll still happen, but it just won't be us. So the very lowest form of God's blessing is to just find out what is it God wants. You don't even have to ask him. You just find out what he wants, line up with that, and it's just going to happen. That's the lowest form of blessing. Now, if there's something personal that you want, I've always taught you have to know. See, some stranger couldn't have come up to my parents and say, could you please buy me that toy car? Why? They don't know him. I couldn't go to Bill Gates and say, I want $100,000. Who are you? See, the sons of Sceva couldn't go up to the demons and say, come out. Because they did not know. So now, when you want a personal blessing, something that is just for you, then you have to know. You have to have the relationship. Knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Romans 10:14. How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What it's talking about is conveyance of knowledge. That's what it's speaking about, letting someone know. So spiritual blessing comes through knowledge. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says in 2 Peter 3:18. We're supposed to grow. That's why Paul, even at the end of his life almost, says, oh, that I may know him. There's more. There's more that I can see. Even though he caught a vision of heaven, he still said in Philippians, oh, that I may know him. And that is such a broad definition. He could have meant many ways. But I would like to line up with Paul and say, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, to be made conformable to his death. Because Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to really know me, you're going to have to do what? Pick up your own cross. Some people want to pick up somebody else's cross. But you're going to have to pick up your own cross. Now, the other person's cross, as I've said before, could be bright and shiny and studded with diamonds. And yours is an old wooden cross, ugly looking. Reason God's given you that is, you try and pick up that silver cross, you couldn't pick it up. Your cross may be ugly, but it's your cross. It's sized for you. So don't go trying to pick up someone else's cross. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. This is a process. This is a journey. The Christian life is a journey. It's not a destination while we are here. We're going through some things. Psalms 119:33 says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Teach me. We are supposed to be learning. And I said some weeks ago, I think it was a message I preached, stuck in second grade, right? Do you remember that? Forever going through the same thing over and over again and not being able to get past that one thing that keeps tripping you up. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. So to understand blessing, you have to learn the laws, the spiritual laws of God. So there's quite a few of them, but I'm going to touch a few of them. Anyone, throw out to me, and there's no wrong answer. Well, maybe there is a wrong answer, but name me a spiritual law. See, let me see if you can guess the first one I have here. What's a spiritual law? Absolutely. Absolutely. Sowing and reaping. It's so obvious. It's so obvious, and yet many of us fail on that. Because really, we did not sow, and we come looking for the reaping. So what we're really asking God to do is a miracle. Right? It's really what we're asking God is for a miracle. We didn't need to have the miracle if we had just done and used the spiritual law. Galatians 6 says, be not mocked, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now the reason why people don't understand this law or see it very often is because when you sow something, does it reap instantly? No. There's a time delay. There's a time delay. Now, if you're like me and an impulse shopper, don't send me out when I'm hungry. You amen that, Sister Maggie? Because I'll come back with all kinds of... My wife knows that. So sometimes she warns me. You know, I want instant gratification. If I can get something, I want it now. You know, so I struggle with the sowing and reaping because it means that you're going to have to put in potentially for some time before you see anything. And a lot of us, and that's the next law, are not patient. Brother Jeremy?
I often think about this one minister who's quoted in the scripture who said, seed, time, and harvest.
That's right. I mean, most of the agricultural season in Israel, it was measured in months. It was measured in months. So when you plant a seed, it takes a while for you to get in the harvest, to see the multiplication. And sometimes that's a long time. Now, when they plant a vineyard from scratch, it takes years. Years before they get grapes good enough to make the first wine. And even then they have to go stack it for another year. Even after it takes years. You don't go into the winery business in a hurry. You don't say, okay, I'm going to plant the vine this year and next year I'm going to have some. No, you have to wait years, probably 5 years. Cheese. I love sharp cheddar, extra sharp cheddar cheese. That's my favorite cheese. And I used to hate it as a kid. I don't know what happened. But for that to be the way I like it, it has to say aged. Aged on. You get this other kind of cheese which is tasteless and has no flavor. It's because they haven't waited. It's not been aged. So the laws of blessing when it comes to sowing and reaping already tells you that you have to do something to get something. You know, the scripture says he will bless the what? The work of your hands. So you give God no work, and then you want him to bless nothing. But you show up for work, even if you don't have what it takes, and you do something, God will bless it. Do you understand how the law works? He will bless the work of your hands. And some people don't do no work. And so then they have to ask for a miracle. Because they're not working with the law. And it's so simple. It's really the law of sowing and reaping. Verse 9 tells you that it's not instantaneous, though. Let us not be what? Weary in well-doing, for in due season. There is a season for that result to come in. You've been going to school. Eventually, the due season, you graduate. And eventually, you get a job. But first, when you come out of school, you get an entry-level job. You may have had a degree or whatever, but they don't put you right at CEO, do they? In due season, ye shall reap if we faint not. If we faint not. Sorry to keep using this example, but these are the examples that come to me. We were teaching yesterday, and we were going. It's about apostolic ministry, and I was pointing out that in Acts, on the day of Pentecost, it says there were about 120, right? But I've told you before that there was more than that at the beginning of the 50 days, and we can prove it because I think it's in Paul's epistle. I don't have the scripture here, but he was going on about he was seen by about 500, right? Now, in Acts, it says that he was seen for 40 days before his ascension. So that tells you if there was 120 at the end, the 500 was at the beginning. They hadn't waited. He said, go and wait. He knew what date the Holy Spirit was going to come. They didn't. They had no clue that it was going to be Pentecost. All he said is, go wait. Go wait. He could have told them, but there was some reason, some purpose he wanted to test somebody to see if they would obey. Waiting is some of the hardest things to do, isn't it? Especially when you need some money and you know there's a check coming. Waiting is a hard thing to do. Psalms 126 verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This is all about the law of sowing and reaping. My father used to tell me that love wins love. Love wins love. You just keep sowing love, and eventually it'll have a breakthrough. You know, someone who is such a jerk at work, you just keep showing them, like, just keep pouring more love. Just keep pouring more love. I know that's contrary, but isn't that what Jesus said? Wasn't his doctrine shocking to them? Because in the Old Testament, it was an eye for an eye, right? Tooth for, you scratch my back, I rip yours apart. That was the philosophy. Jesus said, do good to them that what? Despitefully use you. And the law of sowing and reaping applies to a wide range of things. It's not just money, but it's attitude. It's worship. It's giving. It's outreach. It has such a wide application. Be not deceived. God is not. It also has a negative application. You sow negative things, you're going to reap negative things. Jesus said something so, to me anyway, profound and surprising. He said, it's not what goes into a person that defiles them. It's what comes out. You know, that wouldn't be the common sense thing. You'd think, oh, it's what you take in that messes you up. But he was really speaking about the heart. So we should sow words of encouragement, of grace, of love. You know, we wonder why we have so much negativity in our lives. But what are we sowing? It doesn't apply just to money. It applies to attitude. It applies to relationships. You have to sow into your relationship, right? Sow into your relationship. Not just your spousal relationship, but most importantly, your relationship with God. Okay, so you got that spiritual law. Anyone got another one that they can think of? Well, I'll give you this one because it's related to sowing and reaping, and I've hit on it before. Sorry, but it's patience. Patience is a spiritual law. They that wait upon the Lord, that's a promise. They that wait upon the Lord, maybe will renew their strength. No, it's a law. It says they shall renew, the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. That what it's saying is, okay, you're going through some trials now, but it's not going to last forever. Be patient. God is going to bring you through this. It's just a season. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season. You new parents are going through a season, right? Not much sleep, blurry-eyed, changing diapers, but it's a season. I'm so glad it's a season, right? There'll come a time when that will be, you'll go into another season. You know, they'll be talking to you, they'll want to borrow the keys for the car, or more than that, money. It's just a season. There'll be a season when they start dating if the Lord tarries. Now, that's something you haven't even thought of, right? Can you picture that? No, I didn't think so. So whatever you're going through right now for blessing, just wait upon the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your what? Own understanding. It's a season. It's a season. Don't panic. Don't go try and do something that actually will be out of the will of God. I've done that many times. I've tried to fix it. Tried to steady the ark. Right? Don't look at me like you haven't done that. You all have done that, I'm sure. Try to fix something that you should have just left alone. Left alone. You were trying to make someone happy and you said some things or did some things that you should have just left it alone. Left it alone. Let it be in the hand of God. Ecclesiastes says, to everything there is a season and a time and to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. So you have to be aware of the season. This is where the knowledge comes in. You have to be aware that you're going through a season and don't try and do stuff that's going to make it worse. And it's so hard to be patient, as I said. So one of the laws of blessings is learning to be patient. Jesus told them, go wait at Jerusalem until you've been... There was a tremendous blessing coming. But if you read the and I should have put the scripture, he said that he was seen of about 500 at one time. That means the group that had been at Jerusalem at the beginning was 500. He says he was seen at one time of about 500 people. So where was the rest of them 50 days later? They hadn't waited. They had not obeyed what Jesus said. Because he didn't tell them. He said, just go wait until you've been endued with power. He could have told them. I assume he could have told them it was going to be Pentecost, but he didn't. I guess he wanted to see who was really obedient. And I'm not saying those 500 later on did not come into the church. But imagine if you had the opportunity to be there on the day of Pentecost. Imagine if you had followed him all around for 3.5 years, you'd been one of his disciples. And he said, wait, something great is going to be happening. I'm going to send you the comforter. Maybe they didn't quite understand what this was, but they did understand, wait. And it's shocking to realize that it says he was seen of 500 at one time. If someone could find me that scripture, because I want to make sure that you see that it relates to the 120. It says at one. So this was the group that was at Jerusalem, but it dwindled down to 120 by the day of Pentecost. Imagine. We'd have all said, we're going to wait. But I got stuff to do. I got this to do. I got that to do. Law of blessing, probably one of the most important, is to be patient. See, when I grow food, or have tried to, I keep going out and looking at it. And I might harvest it before it's ready and lose out on the blessing. Could you read it for me? Because I think it's important that I show you this, because many people might not have realized that the 120 was not the beginning group.
Sorry, I had it on my phone.
Because in Acts chapter 1, it says he was seen for about 40 days. And so if he was seen for 40 days and this group was part of that 40 days, they would have had to be at the beginning.
1 Corinthians 15:6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep.
The key there is at once. That means they were in a group. They were in a group. But at the end, there was only 120. So patience is definitely part of one of the laws of blessing, is just wait. But they that wait upon the Lord. That's so hard, right? We have the example of Daniel. And many churches are doing that Daniel fast. But the reason why he was doing that is because he prayed and was waiting for an answer. And I've said so many times, what if he'd given up on the 20th day? Oh, God has forsaken me. This has never happened before. When I prayed before, God always answered me instantly. But now it's the 10th day, the 15th day. He's still fast. He didn't know when the angel was going to show up, but on the 21st day, the angel showed up and said, from the first day you sought, I was dispatched. From the very first day. But there's spiritual warfare going on sometimes. And so there are delays. There's some holdups. So patience is one of the laws of blessing. God operates in his timetable. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why didn't he do it 300 years before? I don't know. When you get to heaven, you can ask him. Right? But God has a plan and a perfect timing. And sometimes we don't see it, and we're fighting God. As I told you, when we had that mortgage problem because we had decided to support this church and not our house, and I prayed to say, well, Lord, can you make the mortgage modification go through? You know, 3 months, nothing. 6 months, nothing. And the mortgage is just piling up because we weren't paying it because we were supporting this church. And I'm getting, you know, they start sending, we're going to foreclose notice. And the Lord still didn't do nothing, and they keep losing the paper. And you've heard my story. After a year, when I was praying by my bedside, the Lord said, don't worry about it. You're going to keep the house. You know, we owe a year's mortgage now. It wasn't like 3 months. The Lazarus had died and was buried now. It was easy to fix it when it was 3 months mortgage. Well, it wasn't easy, but it would have been easier than a year. And I was praying. I got the assurance when I was praying. The Lord said, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. You're going to keep the house. I said, okay. But now it's a year, and you've heard the story. It ended up being 16 months. 16 months. And then the Lord fixed it. Now, if I had tried to fix it when it was 3 months, suppose I tried to borrow money or do something, I would have ruined a great miracle. I would have just totally ruined it, because what God was doing was, if he had given me what I wanted when I wanted it, I would have paid more money by a long... If he had wiped out 3 months debt and refinanced the house then, I'd have been paying for 13 months. Do you get what I'm saying? But he let it go 16 months without fixing it, and then he fixed it, which was a much greater miracle. Because I was all anxious at first, until after about a year, I got this assurance, it's going to be okay. And now the miracle had to be a miracle. It had to be so much greater.
Praise the Lord. I was just thinking about King Saul. It was actually on the day of the seventh day, if he just waited a little bit longer.
Exactly. That's a great example of someone losing everything because of not being patient. God has a perfect timing for your life. Sometimes when I have lots of choices is when I get worried. Because if I pick it, it's going to be wrong. I almost say, Lord, take away the choices. I'll just let it keep going until I only have one choice. Well, I said, this is the way. Walk in it. You know, it's when I have no choice, then, well, I have no choice. I didn't choose this, Lord. Amen. Laws of blessing, patient. I'm going to give you an example. Saul, I could have used Saul, but I chose to use David. 1 Samuel 16:13. When David was anointed king, does anyone have any idea how old he was? Well, we know he was the youngest son. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So now we can use scripture to find out how old he was. Could have been, but how do we prove that? Well, the way we prove it, we know that his older brothers later on Where were they? What were they doing? They were at war with the Philistines. They were at war with the Philistines. Well, the scripture tells us that there was a rule how young you could be to go join the army. 20. So we know, and this was sometime afterwards when he went to, so we know for sure he was under 20 when he first went to the camp because he was not allowed to be in the army. Numbers chapter 1 verse 3 gives us the clue. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. That was the guidance that was given to Moses for who you should let fight. So we know that at the time he was anointed, he was at least under 20. And in fact, at the time he was anointed was before the war. So it could have been up to 2 or 3 years. So he could have been 16, 17. But how long did he have to wait for that blessing to be fulfilled? That's right. Do you see how long? But God, you called me to do this. You told me this was going to happen. Patience. Let the blessing work. Let God's timing work in your life. Just relax. It's not, you're not going to lose it. If the prophet came and laid hands on you and the oil and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, just relax. He was only 16. I bet, and you know all what he went through, where he was in fear of his life, hiding in caves. He must have thought back and said, did that really happen? You ever had, and this has happened to me, have you had a prophetic or whatever, and because it hasn't happened, you know, the devil starts saying, well, maybe you imagined that. Maybe that was your imagination. I can imagine David must have gone through and said, well, Lord, this isn't working out. You know, I'm supposed to be anointed king, and here I'm running for my life. He was crowned king, as Jeremy said, at age 30. So that was at least 15 years or probably at least 10 years if he was just under 20. 2 Samuel 5, 4, David was 30 years old when he began to reign in Judah and reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 30 and 3 years. So he was appointed king over just the Judah and Benjamin at 30, and it was when he was 37, 7 years later before he became king over all of Israel. And yet the blessing, the prediction, the prophecy had been given when he was just a teenager. You know, patience. Let the blessing work. Let God's will for your life marinate. You know, if you want that steak to be really good, you soak it overnight, right? You marinate it. Now, if it's me, I just get it frozen, slap it on, throw some salt and pepper on it, and because I don't want to wait. You know, I ask my wife, I'll get it frozen straight out the freezer, slap it under that convection oven, you know, because we have to learn. I told you, we lose some of our blessing. We lose some of our blessing. David said this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. When we try and do it ourselves, it's much worse. My dad used to have all these stories, and I'm sure you've heard this before, Sister Mary, about this very rich lady who had a nanny looking after her son, right, or little baby. And the rich lady was like in the sitting room, and the nanny was in another room with the kid. And the kid was crying and screaming, saying, mine, give it to me, mine. And, you know, the nanny was saying, no, you can't have it. And so the rich lady shouted, just give it to him. A little bit later, the kid was screaming out even more, ah! And it was a bee. A bee or a wasp or something like that. Sometimes the things we think we want are the things that are going to sting us. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. If we will be patient, if you're a child of the King, he has a plan for your life. It took minimum of 10 years for David to start to see the beginnings of this. He was the youngest, the one that you go look after the sheep. But because he was patient, he could have tried to hurry the process along, couldn't he? When could he have done that? When he could have killed Saul, right? All of his soldiers thought, you're crazy. This guy's out here camped to kill you, and all you do is cut off the hem of his garment, you know. He could have tried to hurry the process, but no wonder God called him a man after his own heart. He said, touch not the Lord's anointed. It wasn't his place. You cannot lose a blessing that God has for you. So you don't have to do anything about it. It's going to come to you. No one can steal it. Just wait. All right. Another. Go ahead. She's bringing up all my... Yes. My wife once a year bakes a special kind of Jamaican cake. And to do it, you have to soak the fruits for... Well, this time you did it for a year. And that's a long time for me to wait. She had several times to refill the fruits because I would sneak in there and I have to do some quality testing, quality analysis. I have to make sure that, you know, things are going along just right. Please help me, Lord. Amen. Okay, another law is seek and you shall find. But here's where people go wrong with this law. Because let's read it and see if you can spot where people, it doesn't seem to work. And I'm going to show you why it doesn't work. Luke 11:9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. That's pretty clear cut. And we say, well, Lord, I've asked, I've knocked. It isn't happening. You know, that seems pretty clear-cut law there. And we've all thought we have done exactly what he said here. We've asked God and it didn't happen. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6 is the clue for why Luke 11:9 doesn't work. Because Luke 11:9 is missing something that you have. So you have to take the scriptures. Bible said here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Some people take just one scripture alone and they don't understand that there's more to it. There's a little bit over here that fits in to make this actually work. So Luke 11:9 by itself will not work. And that's what a lot of people are getting wrong. The clue is Matthew 5:6, but the real answer is the one that was written in the Bible that my parents gave me. It's what you seek first. Do you get it? The law says seek first. The whole complete law is you got to seek the righteousness first. That's how it works. You can't just ask and it happened. Because the whole complete law is seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. Then you can ask the other stuff. Do you understand how the law works? Most of us, we've been asking God first for the stuff we want personally. And we didn't say, Lord, but what is your will? What would you like? Jesus in his prayer said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. That's first before then he goes on, give us this day our daily bread. So the ask and seek, I don't believe will work until you understand the order, which is given in Matthew 6:33. But if you fulfill that, I personally don't believe you even have to ask. Because he says your heavenly Father knoweth what things you need. That's right. The blessings will over. That means before you even ask, it'll be provided. And I can honestly tell you that I don't know if it's because I was fulfilling this perfectly, but God was merciful. He's done that so many times. Just did it before I asked him. Did it before I asked him. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then you can ask all the other things. But people take Luke 11 and say, Allah, I've been praying for God to do this, and he hasn't done it. Was that your first request? Where was what God wants? Because God wants stuff. Did you know that? Yeah. Bible says he seeketh true worshipers. There's a great UPC preacher. His name is Brother Arnold. I forgot his first name. Jeff Arnold. And I heard him preach a message about that, and he said, you want God to come looking after you, be a worshiper. So there's things that God wants from you. So before you demand stuff from him, find out what it is God wants from you. Then you can ask. Then you can knock. Then it will be answered unto you. But once you, the Bible says, if a man's ways please God. Wow. Wow. If a man's ways please God, he's going to provide for you. Do you know who has children here now? If you're a good parent, you don't even wait till your kid needs. You just see the need. If they need shoes, you know, you're out and you say, you know, they need some shoes. You provide it before they ask. Do you think God is less than you? No. He is the example of providential love. But it's because we are not using the laws of blessing. We don't have the knowledge, and we just end up having to panic and ask for a miracle. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. It's if we put the order of what we're looking for in the right order, then God is going to fulfill this law. The doors will be open, but there is a priority in doing it. Now, this one, the next one I'm going to show you is probably not one you have thought of, and there's many more. I'm not going to try and do all of them. But here's one with a blessing. Matthew 18:3, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So there is a blessing in being a childlike attitude. What does he think he means, except you be converted? Converted from what? Well, we know the end is a child, but converted from what? Pride? Right? I mean, a two-year-old just doesn't harbor all of the ills that we'd... Maybe they get mad at another little kid, but 2 minutes later they'll be playing with them. That's gone. Sister Mary. That's right. Right, we're not to hold on, you know, what we're doing is hurting our blessing. Because we're holding on to all these things, and we won't speak to people for years, or we'll cross the street if we see them coming. You know, we have the wrong attitude. That is going to stop our blessing. In fact, Jesus said, unless you be converted, you shan't enter the kingdom. You're not going to enter the kingdom. In Matthew 10:16, he gives another example, being that we should be sheep. Why is the church, his followers, likened to sheep? Because sheep are so innocent. They don't have attitudes, right? They like to be in a flock. They don't like being by themselves. Did you know that? Sheep like to be in a herd. And they follow. They will follow. You've seen the thing where one sheep jumps and there's nothing there, and the other sheep all jump. There's nothing there, but they're following. He jumps, so I better jump. They'll do that. So one of the laws of blessing is we have to have a childlike attitude when it comes to holding grudges, friendships, and being a child of God. Yes, things will hurt us. We're human. We're gonna feel pain. But it shouldn't last till 10 years from now, right? Like your grandson, Trey. You know, he doesn't like it. You know, Bible says that no chastisement is what? Pleasurable. No, it's not nice when stuff happens, but don't hold on to it forever. Don't let it eat at you. Because the Bible speaks about a root of bitterness. Yes, someone did you something really bad, but if you just keep... There's so many people have left church because of people in the church. And they're going to stand up before God and say, yeah, I cut my foot off because he stomped on my toe. You know, that's what essentially they're doing. Behold, I sent you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That we shouldn't carry offense. That doesn't mean we should be stupid, you know, and let, you know, go into places where we're expecting stuff to happen. But on the other hand, don't try to let go of things. Try to not let bitterness eat you up. Because that is really one of the laws of blessing, is to have a childlike attitude. They follow the shepherd, but they will also kind of group together. They like being in a herd. They don't like being by themselves. That's right. Right. Now, if you can find some sheep, of course, if you're fellowshipping with wolves, it's not quite the same thing. But if you can find some sheep, you know, and there's some people that I have met over my life that I just, I have the greatest respect for. I like being around them. Is there anyone you like being around? Because their attitude, their outlook is so positive. They're so cheerful. You almost wish you could be like them. I like hanging around people like that have the joy of the Lord. Truly, though, who likes being around with someone that's... There is a brother, my wife is laughing, but there's a brother at the church in Benton Harbor. I don't know if I should call his name, whether you'd ever meet him. He's a great brother, don't get me wrong. He's a great guy. He's been there many years. But his outlook is always, you know, it's raining again. His attitude is always like, if there's a bad thing to be picked out, he will pick that out and bring it up. And he's a great guy. I mean, he's a hard worker, but, you know, so me and her always joke, you know, I'll tell her she's being brother. Almost said his name. Brother X, and she'll tell me, you're being Brother X, because we'll have this, I'm being too negative, you know, we have this little code that tells me, okay, all right, I better quit that then, you know. But isn't it so much better to be around someone with a, when you were a child, what did you like doing the most? Did you say playing? Absolutely. Absolutely. They just enjoyed the environment, and you would play with almost anything. A box. I used to get some clothespins and make a train. We had our grandchildren over, well, grandchild. We had Jason over on, was it Friday? So Yvonne got out all the toys. And me and her, we played with the toys. I think we played, we had more fun than Jason. He was just looking at us like, what is God wants us to play. Not always going around. Enjoy while we wait on the blessing. She made out this track, and I wasn't good. I was being Brother Harold because I had stuff to do. This is not what I wanted to do. I had Bible study. I had all this stuff to do. And she said, come on now, come on, your grandson is only here, you know, for a few. Come on and help me put this track together. So I put it, and I started to get into it and started to fire the little car, and it was doing the loop. And we were laying on the carpet, and Jason is looking at us. It was fun to be a child again. God wants us to have some fun sometimes. Not be so, like this brother, be so dour and pick out all of the... Yes, those things are going to be there. But we should have, you know, this is our playtime. We come here to worship God and have fun. Amen. You know, we need some joy of the Lord. So one of the laws of blessings is to have a childlike attitude, and that covers many things. I'm almost finished here. God is, this is about the knowledge of blessing, and it's a prophecy in Daniel. It said, many shall be purified in the end times and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. They will not know. It's a blessing to understand what's going on. The world doesn't understand how close they are to the coming of the Lord. You see, because as things happen, we are going to be able to know what's going to happen. God has already given us little notes, little calendar notes and things. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. That's a blessing. We are going to understand what's going to happen. In 2005, I think, Congress passed a national ID law where everybody was supposed to get an ID that had biometric data. And at first it was passed easily, but they kept, the state started, you know, people started to complain about it, and then it was delayed until it was supposed to be implemented in 2011, and it's still on the books, but it hasn't been implemented yet. It's still there, that everyone is supposed to have a national ID, some kind of national ID card, at least for now. You see, God has a perfect timing. The Bible says, he that letteth will let till he be taken out the way. See, only people who understand and know their Bible will understand what's going on. Because we understand where that is headed. We know what the Bible says about where that is headed. See, God is giving us, and how do we do that? How can they hear except there be a what? Preacher. I'm going back to my very first verse. Because it's all about knowing God. The blessings come from knowing God. If you don't know about something, you cannot understand it. You cannot understand it. I'm going to try and hurry up and finish here. Proverbs 3:6 says, and the way they translate it kind of hides what it's really saying. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But the Hebrew word there is yada, and it really is, in all thy ways know him, and he shall direct thy path. The more you know him, the more he's going to direct your path. The more you'll understand what God is trying to tell you. That word there, acknowledge, is the word yada, which means to know. Ephesians 4:13, the verse I started with, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. We are supposed to be growing. I just put some of the blessings, and I gave some examples how if we could just start using some of the laws. You know, mankind has been able to learn the law of electricity, and look at how much stuff we got that works on electricity. What if you had no electricity in your house? Of course, you'd have no lights, no refrigerator. What else? No radio, no TV, no vacuum cleaner, no dishwasher, no washing machine. No washing machine, no air conditioner, maybe. Rice cooker, no rice cooker, no iron. Now, that's just one law. That's just one law. Can you imagine how many spiritual laws we're not using? If we understood all the fullness of what God has for us, and the blessings that we could obtain, just the one of them, reaping and sowing. What areas of your life do you think you're not sowing into, but expecting God to just do a miracle? You don't have to answer me. It was for you to think. Right. That's basically what I've been saying, is that if you can get and operate with the laws of God, then you might not need many miracles. Or you can be like me and always be needing a miracle. Amen. I'm learning, though. Paul said in Philippians, right, that I may know him. Let's stand today. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways, acknowledge, know him. I want to know him in my job. I want to acknowledge him in my family. I want to acknowledge him when I'm out on the street. I want to acknowledge him in all thy ways. Then he shall direct thy path. And if God is directing your path, you can't go wrong. He's the God positioning system. He comes with the Holy Spirit, the God positioning system. And if you will just listen, he will direct your path. Amen. We have one more week on this. Next week I'm going to be talking about using what God has blessed us. Because when God gives you something, it's not for you. It's but for you to use. Amen. Let's bow our heads and our hearts at this time. Lord, we just thank you, oh God, for this word. Let it find good soil.